And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. And today on the program, we're going to be talking to Gloria LaRiva. She is with the Free the Five Committee of the United States. And there is going to be a tribunal, as our listeners well know, Breaking the Silence, Justice for the Cuban Five, People's Tribunal and Assembly. It's going to be held in Toronto, September the 21st through the 23rd. And there will be registration, which is going to be begin on the 21st. We'll get into the details about all that when we speak to Gloria LaRiva. Later in the show, we're going to talk to Robin Philpott in Montreal about the recent election in Quebec and also the student movement, which has been the most massive and dramatic and powerful student demonstrations and strike in the history of North America, actually. And we want to know the consequences of all that. And we will, at the end of the program, at the latter part, we will be talking to Stephen Gowans about Canada's decision to close the Iranian embassy and what the consequences are going to be. But now we have with us Gloria LaRiva. Are you there?
Yes. How are you?
How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much for taking the time, Gloria. We're looking forward to seeing you in Toronto on the 21st of September. The conference you're attending has got a number of people from all over the world, and the title of it is Breaking the Silence, Justice for the Cuban Five. Let's talk about what is the silence. What is it that Americans, Canadians, and people around the world have not been able to learn about this dramatic case of the five Cubans?
Well, despite the fact that the Cuban Five case involved U.S.-Cuba relations and the matter of five men who've been in prison for 14 years, their anniversary is Wednesday of their arrest, it's a case that's hardly known in the U.S. press, and it has taken a great deal of struggle for any coverage to take place, precisely because the United States conducted a political trial in Miami of these five men who were in Miami in the early 1990s protecting their country of Cuba from years of attacks by terrorist groups that reside in Miami, and the Cuban Five were infiltrated into those groups and preventing terrorist attacks, yet the U.S. government arrested them, put them on trial in a city where the right-wing extreme organizations that have carried out literally hundreds of attacks against Cuba and within Miami as well, against anyone who calls for normalization of relations with Cuba. The U.S. arrested the men who were stopping the terrorism, and that's where we're at. It's U.S. policy.
It is very striking, I mean, that you have so many outstanding individuals, both from the world of film and theater and literature and some major political figures who've spoken out, but their voices it's as though they've been put on mute by someone. I wonder if you could talk about that aspect. That, for example, there's a new matter that is being brought to the attention, I guess, of the courts, which is that there wasn't really a proper trial in the sense that there was external manipulation of the process involving the media, which is, I guess, what we're talking about when we say silence. What was that about? How did that take place?
Well, it's hard to understand how this injustice took place, except to know that Miami is a city absolutely unique in the United States. There is no city like Miami where known, admitted, and boastful terrorists who killed people, in fact, dozens of people, mm-hmm. can actually have prominent positions in that city. So during the trial of the five, they were placed on trial in November 2000. The trial took 7 months. And in the beginning of the trial, they were charged with federal charges of espionage conspiracy. For one, Gerardo Hernandez, who's serving double life, he was charged with a very outrageous charge of murder conspiracy. That's a long story. But anyway, when the defense attorneys appealed for a change of venue. They asked the judge a number of times to move the trial out of Miami because of this longstanding hostility toward Cuba. Mm-hmm. The judge refused. And so they were tried in an atmosphere of absolute prejudice in the city. The jurors were accosted virtually by the media. They would follow them to the cars, filmed their license plates, and in Miami, that means that your license plate, your address, a name is placed in the media, and many people in the past have had death threats as a result from the media in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
They were convicted in June 2001, sentenced from terms of 15 years to double life, and yet it took 5 years after the trial for this astounding fact to become known when the Miami Herald, which is the main newspaper of Miami, a reporter named Oscar Corral in 2006 revealed in an article that 10 Miami journalists were on the U.S. government payroll. They were being paid to work in radio and TV Marti, which are U.S. official propaganda stations that beam transmit, you know, propaganda against Cuba into the island. And by U.S. law, it is prohibited for those broadcasts of radio and TV Marti to be transmitted in the United States. Why? Because it's considered propaganda, and so there's a law against that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, these 10 journalists were revealed to have been working not only in Miami, but also for radio and TV Marti.
Mm-hmm.
So the National Committee to Free the Cuban Five, of which I'm coordinator, we began a what is now over 3 years of investigation. We did a Freedom of Information Act and found, over these last 3 years, dozens of journalists in Miami who were on that payroll of the government while they covered the case of the Cuban Five during the trial, during their arrest and trial, in the most outrageous, prejudicial, harmful manner that virtually convicted them in the public.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's part of their current and final appeal. They're only allowed one habeas corpus appeal by U.S. law. It's very restrictive. But this is new evidence of a constitutional violation, and we think it's powerful evidence that should immediately free them.
Mm-hmm. By the way, on the matter of propaganda, I believe I read a statement from the from Mr. Alarcón of the Cuban government. There was something to do with the fact that not only were they being paid to do propaganda, but they were also being fed information, right? It had been actually the kind that ordinary journalists would not have any access to. Someone was giving them things to say and write about. Is that right?
Well, I think some of the violations by the media, besides their prejudicial coverage, was that they would be in the courtroom, and at times when the jury was taken out of the courtroom so that arguments were heard between the two parties, the defense and the prosecuting attorneys, that the jury was not supposed to hear, that was not supposed to be for them to consider, the media would publish it in the press. And keep in mind that for 7 months, the jury was not sequestered. It's very unusual for
not
a case
sequestered.
Not sequestered.
In a situation where the issue of venue had been discussed at length.
Absolutely. In a case like this, I mean, everyone knows that for criminal charges of such a serious nature, the jury would be sequestered, and yet they weren't. And in Miami, it's impossible for them not to have heard some of this information, misinformation, through neighbors, through the media. As a matter of fact, in the trial, early on in the trial, almost a month after it started, the prosecution filed a motion asking the judge to enforce her gag order on the media and on witnesses. And in that motion, the government said, paraphrasing, basically they said, well, we know that the judge instructs the jury not to read the media, and we, you know, have no reason to think that wouldn't happen still.
Mm-hmm.
There was one quote by a government witness that the government felt was harmful to their case, and they howled about this. They said it was a violation of the gag order. And they said, still, the jury could end up reading the media. So they admitted that the media would have an effect in this trial. And yet now they're saying, they're arguing against a new trial, against justice for the five, against the freeing of the five, saying that the judge protected the jury from the media. We do not believe that's true. And this is why the attorneys, there's a new attorney, by the way, Martin Garbus, who has filed an extraordinary affidavit along with a memorandum of law filed by one of the other attorneys, Richard Clue. And this memorandum of law and affidavit are very powerful, a groundbreaking argument on the government's collaboration and illegal operation of such a grand scale with the media against the five.
Now, by the way, I saw that, and I believe it was on a site where you, and I should tell our listeners, this is Gloria LaRiva, and she is with the Free the Five National Committee in the USA. There is a website where that's available. Could you tell me what that is?
The website, our website is freethefive.org, and five is spelled out. It has an interview with Martin Garbus, which was just last week, with Geraldo Rivera. He's a very well-known commentator. Mm-hmm. And there's a series of five articles by the president of Cuba's National Assembly, Ricardo Alarcón, who you mentioned before. He's writing an analysis and denunciation of this whole process of the government in having paid these journalists. It's, I think, the most important issue for the public to know. Our feeling is that this evidence should not just remain within the legal realm in the courtroom. It has to be brought out. We're so appreciative that you're having this interview, that you're letting us, the public, know about it. And for politicians, personalities that you've said are going to be at the conference, people around the world, juridical circles, for everyone to demand that the U.S. bring justice by freeing the five, and to show that not only should there be justice, but also the appearance of justice.
Mm-hmm.
How can that look in the world when journalists on the government payroll, by the government that was prosecuting these men, by journalists who were Cuban exiles, right-wing Cuban exiles, some of them are terrorists, and the affidavit describes some of these journalists who have been convicted, some of them. Others were convicted of placing bombs, of having bombs in Cuba. Others of saluting, glorifying Luis Posada Carriles and Orlando Bosch, the ones who bombed the Cuban airliner and killing 73 people back in 1976. This is a horrendous case. And as Martin Garbus says, if there's not justice in this case, this will be a ghastly example of injustice in the United States.
Yeah, it is so dramatic. I mean, by the way, one of those attending this conference is going to be Livio De Selma. He is the brother of Fabio De Selma, who was killed by a bomb placed by terrorists in a Havana hotel, and that was masterminded by Mr. Carriles, who lives, as I understand it, freely and is a local hero to the right-wing Cubans.
Yes, and one of the journalists who was paid by the government and who covered the case of the five, you know, in a harmful manner, his name is Enrique Encinosa. He's a very close friend of that bomber, Luis Posada Carriles. And there is a video of this journalist, Enrique Encinosa, who's a news director of the most powerful Spanish language radio station in Miami. Enrique Encinosa is on video on the internet saying, well, those bombs, you know, the one that killed Livio's brother, Fabio, he says, if those bombs can affect tourism and harm it, well, I think it's great. So this is one of
the they've been shameless in this situation. By the way, we're both being very kind to call somebody a journalist who embraces terrorists. And I want to ask you about that, too. Again, this is Gloria LaRiva, and she's going to be attending our conference here in Toronto on September 21st through the 23rd. You know, both political parties, the major parties in the United States, have turned this issue of fighting terrorism into their most sacred doctrine. And the struggle against terrorism, as I recall when it was initiated, was that it's indivisible. You know, in other words, all the world has to unite in a civilized form to fight terrorism. Here you have Mr. Carriles walking free, and then you have the five. Who were trying to fight terrorism, and there had been cases of terrorism against their country, and they're not freed, and they're their courage actually respected, that they had done the right thing.
Yes, and I think we need to really keep in mind, this is about five men, as you said, Gerardo Hernandez, who has double life, and Ramon Lavallino, who has 30 years sentence, of Antonio Guerrero, who still has several years left to serve if we don't find justice before, of Fernando Gonzalez, who has three more years left, and of René Gonzalez, who was freed last October, with, you know, in quotation marks, but he's still in the United States because the judge will not let him go home. She has imposed a three-year probation sentence, another part of his unjust sentence, and not allowing him to go home to his family. He has to remain basically underground. He can't even get a license to drive because he can't let the terrorists know where he lived. He would be giving up his address if he applied for a license. Mm-hmm. That's just part of this whole case of political persecution of the five by the U.S. government in Miami. It's not just Miami. The U.S. government finances these groups. The government has these paid agents. You're right. They're not journalists. They're paid agents of the government.
Mm-hmm.
And keeps financing radio and TV Marti.
Mm-hmm. No, it is such a striking story. By the way, look at, you have two presidential campaign going on. This is a disgraceful episode in American history, and no one will put this matter to these candidates, and I assume they're both united as one on in their approach to the matter.
Partly it's because of the vote when it comes down to it with Florida, which is often a swing state, but it's also because both parties, for these 50-plus years of the Cuban Revolution, have been determined to try to overthrow the revolution. The blockade keeps getting tightened more and more, and the U.S. pressures other governments, fines foreign banks for doing transactions with Cuba. It's an all-out press against Cuba, and the five who were working to protect Cuba at a time when the terrorism was on the rise in the 90s because of the development of tourism for Cuba to survive the mm-hmm. collapse of the Soviet Union and its trading partner, the U.S. has done everything they can to try to thwart Cuba's democracy and sovereignty, and the five are part of that struggle. So the election campaign right now means that there's not much coverage of the presidential candidates. Obama and Romney won't mention the five, and yet this is the time to be fighting. By the way, there's an interesting point. There was a senator, Ted Stevens, in 2008, who was convicted on corruption charges.
Mm-hmm.
To make a long story short, it turned out that the government prosecution had hidden some evidence that could have weighed in his favorably in his case. And when it was discovered 2 years later, Eric Holder, the current attorney general, stepped into the court process and ordered a new trial. Basically, he was found mm-hmm. innocent then, because the trial was, and there was never a new trial. The government stopped prosecuting him, and we're demanding, with a much larger, massive misconduct by the government, by the prosecution, we demand that Eric Holder take action too, step into this process and free these men.
Yeah, do the right thing.
Yeah, and that's part of what we're exposing and asking mm-hmm. the public of Canada, the U.S., and worldwide to visit the website, freethefive.org, sign on to receive the emails, read the information, and contact us if you can get more publicity about this, have forums. There's all kinds of things that can be done to let more and more people know. Mm-hmm. This Wednesday, there are hundreds of demonstrations, actions planned all over the world in dozens of U.S. embassies and consulates in the world. People are planning to have protests. All of this gives pressure.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in Miami with dozens of other supporters in 2009, and Antonio Guerrero and two of the other five were re-sentenced, their sentences were reduced. And when Antonio was in court, the prosecutor, Carolyn Heck Miller, admitted essentially that the government has been feeling the pressure of this world movement for the five, even though sometimes you just can't tell that it's happening. And she said, "Your Honor, we have agreed, the defense and prosecution, to the reduction of sentence for Antonio Guerrero because we believe it will help calm the waters, the turbulent waters that are swirling around this case. Mm-hmm. And it was an amazing thing to hear in court. We have to keep that in mind.
Indeed.
That every little thing that's done does help.
Yeah. Well, certainly this is going to help, and you're going to have Danny Glover. He's a really outstanding, very courageous and gifted man who's going to be attending. That shows that people are really, if they hear the truth, they're going to do as you say, to demand action on behalf of their governments. Gloria, we're very grateful for you taking the time, and we look forward to seeing you here on September the 21st or the 23rd.
Oh, thank you. And Cindy Sheehan will be there. Others, Canadian activists and wonderful people who've been keeping the flame going in Canada and Quebec. And thank you so much, Bill. Again, readafive.org. And you'll be given the information for the conference, right?
Yes. I have the information in front of me. I'm going to read it, and we'll be reminding people. So we're very grateful, and we look forward again to seeing you, and I'll bet it's going to be a successful conference. It's going to be at City Hall in Toronto, and that's great.
Great. We thank you. Take
okay.
good care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Gloria LaRiva, and she is with the Free the Five National Committee in the U.S., and as I mentioned, coming from the U.S. will be also the lawyer Richard Klug will be here. Danny Glover is going to be here. Cindy Sheehan from Cuba, Adriana Perez and Elizabeth Palmiero, wives of the Cuban Five, will be in attendance. From the U.K., Tom Woodley, who is the executive officer of for Unite the Union, which is my understanding is the largest union in Britain, and I've seen him here previously at the Steelworker Hall in Toronto. A terrific individual, and it's great that he's behind this cause. From Venezuela, Julian Rivas, journalist and editor of El Mundo de Caracas, is going to be here. And this is in Toronto, breaking the silence, the untold story of the Cuban Five. And it's going to begin on Friday, September the 21st at 11 a.m. There's going to be a press conference at Metro Hall on John Street at 6:30, registration at the Steelworkers Hall at 25 Cecil Street at 7 p.m. There'll be an opening ceremony at the Steelworkers Hall, 25 Cecil Street. Saturday, September 22nd, the People's Tribunal from 8 a.m. to 8:45. There will be registration at Toronto City Hall Chamber at 8:45 to 4 p.m. People's Tribunal, Toronto City Hall Council Chamber. And there will be a march and rally at the U.S. Consulate on University Avenue at 4:30 on the 22nd, September 22nd. It's a lot of stuff going on and a lot of great individuals involved. And on Sunday, September the 23rd, the People's Assembly will begin at 10 a.m., and it'll be at Toronto City Hall's chamber. And at 1:30 to 4:30 p.m., there's going to be meetings and discussions and workshops on how to advance to before the public the case of the Cuban Five. And it will be available, full program will be available at times of registration. So that all begins on the Friday, the September 21st, beginning at 11 a.m., Metro Hall, John Street. So again, we're very grateful for Gloria LaRiva talking to us today about this, and it's going to be quite an occasion.